This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. This week, you'll learn with over 500,000 listeners the secrets of success from a top CEO. No sound bites, no gotchas. Instead, you'll hear direct insights, stories, and wisdom on personal leadership and on growing your business. Unfiltered and straight from the most successful CEOs. Hope you enjoy.
And we're here today with George Michel. How are you, George?
Doing great. It's good to be here.
And George is the CEO of the Big Chicken Boston Market Corporation. And so this is a breakthrough organization on its 30th anniversary with about 456 restaurants, about 10,000 employees. Talk about what the concept is. You're in a very crowded space in what we might call fast food or elevated fast food.
Yeah, we're in the fast casual space. We were the pioneers of fast casual 30 years ago, and then we veered off as we were struggling and having our issues, and we went through a couple of different ownerships. But in the last 4 years, we've really been focused on being back in the fast casual space, providing great value, great service, and great food to our customers.
And it started historically as Boston Chicken, and then you went through the IPO, became super popular, everyone loved it, then went through bankruptcy, then McDonald's bought it, then it was again purchased, gone private. And what was the state when you became CEO in 2010 of the Big Chicken Boston Market?
Well, at that time, you know, the business was flat. There were some tough times with the economic times in 08, 09. Restaurant sales were down. Comp sales were down. And I stepped in, and about that time, we were testing a concept called America's Kitchen Table, where, we were going to reposition the brand from being a fast food concept to a fast casual concept. So we upped the service in the restaurants. We introduced real plates and cutlery. We created a position in the dining room, the guest ambassador, to make sure that we stay in touch with our guests in the dining room, make sure that if they needed extra water, extra napkins, check on their food, we call it table touches, so that we really get some great feedback from our customers. And that resonated extremely well through the test period. So we decided in late 2010, early 2011, to roll out that program throughout the whole country, and since then we've never looked back.
So how did you, when you first stepped in as CEO, come up with the idea of what you were going to do for changes?
Well, you know, the first thing I did is I didn't go straight to the office. I went on the road, visited about 120 restaurants.
120 restaurants over what time period?
Over 4 months. And I wanted to really learn, understand, and talk to every employee that I could touch. And it was amazing how much I learned. And the key question I asked them whenever I was in the restaurant is, if you become a CEO for 24 hours and you only have 24 hours to make some big decisions, what would be one or two things you would stop this company from doing? And what would be one thing you would say, never change that? And it was amazing the kind of feedback I received from managers, employees, area managers, and I went back to the support center with a lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts, and the initial reaction is, here we go again, some more changes. But they were valuable input because they came directly from our employees, and I've always learned that when you go out into the field and talk to employees, there are always golden nuggets right there. There are always answers to questions because somebody in the restaurant has it figured out. So instead of spending time in the support center talking about issues and trying to figure out a solution, just go to the people that work with those issues every day. Somebody's got it figured out.
When you went to them, were people reluctant or shy, or they said, oh, here is the CEO? What was the response you usually received from people?
Well, at first, people are reluctant to open up, especially if their boss is standing around.
So it would be in a group. You'd go to a restaurant and you'd have, like, everyone together.
No, we just talk casually. Be standing in the kitchen or in the dining room, and I'd ask those questions. But, you know, usually people at first are hesitant. But then when I make a suggestion that I had in my mind by planting a seed about a change I wanted to make, that usually starts a conversation from their point of view about things they would like to change. And sometimes I might just say, so what do you think of the Asian salad? Because I knew that the Asian salad was not selling. But I wanted them to tell me that and to tell me what are some of the issues facing them with having so many SKUs in the restaurant to serve an Asian salad, for example, at Boston Market. So I would start by asking a question. You know, I usually ask a lot of dumb questions, and I get good answers from the employees. And then a lot of times I say, well, let's walk back to the fridge. Let's look at everything in the fridge and show me or point to me which items don't move and they just sit in our fridge because there isn't enough turnover. So these are the kinds of things that employees very willingly share with you.
How did you communicate back with them once you compiled all of your information over these 4 months?
Well, we went back and we talked to them about, here's input you gave me during my visits. Here are some of the decisions that we made. We did a similar approach about a year and a half after I was in the job. I changed my title from CEO to the Big Chicken.
Now I get it, because I'm looking at your card, George, and it says here, the Big Chicken. Now I understand why.
Because, you know, when I go into a restaurant and say, I'm George, the CEO, you know, usually, you know, people take a step back.
And you're also so elegant the way your tie is perfect. You have that look about you.
Yeah, but when I go to the restaurants, usually I'll try to dress casually, you know, without a tie. I sometimes even put on an apron, like the employees, and walk into the restaurant. But the minute I introduce myself, I'm saying, hi, I'm George the Big Chicken, I always get a big laugh. And then they usually think I'm joking. And then usually somebody says, no, he really calls himself the Big Chicken. And usually employees want to see my business card because most times they won't believe it and they ask me for it. They can keep the business card. But that allows me to develop a personal relationship with the employees. I'm also fortunate that I speak 4 languages. And a number of our employees are either immigrants or kids from immigrant families. So sometimes I look at their name tag and I can switch to Arabic, Hebrew, French. And it allows me to connect with some of the employees very quickly and develop a rapport with them. So, and that's important.
What do you do to really quickly build rapport with someone?
You start asking about what they do. You know, where did they work before? If they're going to university, I talk to them about the fact that I went to university while I was working part-time as a cook in a kitchen, just so that I can talk to them about the fact that they're on the right path. And a lot of times we get into what kind of courses they're taking, what interests them at Boston Market. I say, I'm here to really get your feedback on our business. Are there advice you want to give me while I'm here? And it's amazing. You know, once I introduce myself as the Big Chicken, it opens up the floodgates for some good discussions.
Are there any other unique practices that you have that you use to connect with people, to engage your executive team, to work with the board, anything like that? Because you have a really authentic approach. So everyone listening in, this is what you have to do. You have to figure out your approach, be authentic, and reach out to people and get the ideas. But I'm thinking, because we've got a little over almost 2 minutes before our next break, any other unique idea of a practice that you do?
Yeah, I practice MBWA, and I've said that to employees when I go into a company, and that's management by wandering around. So that's something I do. I walk around the office at least 10 times a day. I just wander around. I also, when I want to meet with somebody, I don't ask them to come to my office. I always go to their office because it's more comfortable to be in their own environment and talk to them about issues, or you want to have a discussion with them. The other thing is I operate under the no surprise principle. And I always tell my people, don't surprise me, I will not surprise you. As long as we're clear and there are no surprises, then there should be no surprises coming from me. So these are the key three principles. And then the last thing is I always like to delegate. I sometimes throw ideas out there to find out how much pushback I'm going to get on my ideas, because that tells me how much passion people have for what they're recommending.
Very exciting. This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show. We speak with the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with George Michel, who is the Big Chicken. I got that wrong. That's your actual title, of Boston Market Corporation. And what you've been hearing is there are ways to turn around an organization, and it all starts with authentically reaching out to people, prompting their questions, going to people's office so you can have the conversations with them. So all of you CEOs listening in, these are some of the keys to success. And by the way, if you want to see it in action, just go to a Boston market. We're going to be taking a commercial break now. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the new Boston market and what you're doing. And there's a lot of exciting things. So back in a few.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
If you have sleep apnea and you're tired of dragging around your big, bulky home CPAP device wherever you travel, what I'm about to tell you may sound too good to be true. MiniCPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. Even better, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for a full 10 days. Call us now, 1-800-940-5473. Transcend is the world's first portable mini-CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. Transcend is so small and so light you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. It's true. You can enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere, anytime you want. Call MiniCPAP.com now for your 10-day in-home trial. 1-800-940-5473. That's 1-800-940-5473.
Are you worried about how dangerous the world has become? In these days of terrorist attacks, natural disasters, or even a future collapse, you need to be medically prepared to keep your family safe. I'm Joe Alton, MD of store.doomandbloom.net, where you'll find an entire line of uniquely designed medical kits and supplies for when help is not on the way. For everything from individual first aid kits to the ultimate family medical bag, go to store.doomandbloom.net today. That's store.doomandbloom.net. You'll be glad you did.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, There's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with George Michel, who is officially, his title is the Big Chicken. Yes, I'm looking at it and you're smiling.
That's right.
Boston Market. So let's talk about, actually, while we're recording this now, it's actually called National Rotisserie Day.
Yes, today.
How did that happen?
Well, you know, we came up with the idea together with our advertising and PR firms. And we went and applied to the to the National Day Calendar to officially proclaim June 2nd as National Rotisserie Chicken Day. They get thousands of applications every year, but they only provide 10 days of celebration to different events. We were lucky to get June 2nd, and so here we are today in New York to officially launch and celebrate our first ever National Rotisserie Chicken Day.
Will this happen next year?
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. This is now ongoing.
George, congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
That's terrific. I have to make the National CEO Day. But so why is the word rotisserie so important in the lexicon of Americans moving forward?
Well, rotisserie is a unique way to cook a chicken. It takes an hour and a half in the rotisserie ovens to cook a chicken that's about 3.5 pounds. And, you know, we're very careful about selecting the right size of bird that goes into our rotisserie. An hour and a half allows you that slow cooking. It allows the product to caramelize itself. It allows the juices to stay inside, while very slowly for the fat to drip out of the chicken. And it is a great way to enjoy a better-for-you chicken that is rotisserie cooked as opposed to cooked in its own fat in an oven.
So it tastes better, it's healthier, it just takes a lot longer. Are chickens the only thing that you could do rotisserie?
Well, we are now switching turkey breasts to the rotisserie.
Mm-hmm.
And we are actually looking at enhancing and working on our rotisserie platform. We've been testing in our test kitchen double smashed potatoes cooked in the rotisserie.
Oh, that sounds good. If you have a focus group and you need someone, count me in.
All right, you're in. Next
I
week.
I love it. You've the healthiest foods. I love it. So, anything else we should look for in the new Boston market?
Well, we're excited about opening new restaurants. So one of the things we're focusing on is where we should take the brand. And one of the first areas we looked at is shopping centers. Mm-hmm. You know, we've scanned food courts and found that no one serves the kind of product that we serve.
Exactly. It's always the unhealthy stuff, and you're stuck there because you're in the big mall.
Exactly, yeah. So we've gone into one shopping center in Syracuse, and now we're going to open three more this year. And we're very excited about that program. It also allowed us to downsize our operation from about 2,000, 3,000 to 500 square feet. So we can squeeze into small spaces. This could also one day provide us with the ability to expand internationally, where space is at a premium in major cities across the world. The second thing we did is we also formed a relationship with the U.S. Army, with the Army Exchange, where two Boston markets were opened last year on Army bases that have done extremely well. So we are excited that this year we're going to open 3 to 5 new locations on Army bases. And we are, in a way, talking about expanding internationally with them, going to army bases in Europe and in Asia, because they want to serve our troops a healthier, better-for-you product, and Boston Market fits that bill.
Absolutely. Great idea. I want to ask you, because you have such fascinating strategies, and you know, I've interviewed, I guess, over 500 top CEOs, but you really have terrific insights on how to engage people, come up with new strategies. So you had a major career. You were recently CEO of Timothy's Coffee, before of A&W. You had a major career internationally with Burger King. What was a challenge that you faced in your life, business-wise, that taught you a major lesson in business?
Well, it was about me when I was a cook. And the challenge I had is I could never get my boss's ear because I had some ideas to share with my bosses on how to improve the business. And so when I got into management, I was afforded that opportunity and always felt that you need to listen to your customers, but you also need to listen to your employees, because employees that face situations every day, every hour, they usually have the answer to the challenges. And I always like to seek input and make sure that I have input and make the right decisions at the end of the day.
Okay, but you have over 10,000 employees. It's not easy to get input from 10,000 employees.
No,
I know in the start when you were developing strategies, you did your road tour over 100 restaurants, 4 months. But what do you do day to day now CEO?
Yeah, well, I followed it with the Big Chicken Chat Tour.
Say that again?
The Big Chicken Chat Tour. So I went around the country and I had 26 meetings with our GMs. We have 456 GMs. So I had about 15 to 20 GMs in each meeting. And we sat around, no tables, no papers, no pens. We chatted for 4 hours. And again, during that tour, which happened over a month and a half, I got to meet every GM of every Boston Market restaurant. And I learned so much from them, because usually as we started to chat, somebody in that group started convincing the other GMs about best practices that they had developed in their own restaurant. So I ended up being the facilitator in that meeting, but I also made some notes, and then out of it came some procedures and policies that were implemented throughout the whole country. So this is an ongoing dialogue. Then my vice president of operations did the same thing the year after that with the assistant managers. They did their chat tour with the assistant managers. We also, every year, we evaluate and send out basically, you know, a form that everybody has to fill out electronically about how they feel about the organization. And we don't do it just with salaried employees, but we go all the way down to hourly employees. And that's done by a third party called Denison.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically evaluate what I call the climate in the organization. How do people feel about our values? How they feel about our business goals, how they feel about being treated. And we get all these results and we can tabulate them by restaurant, by department. So that's another measure that we undertake to always understand on a yearly basis what's the climate like in our organization. Because at the end of the day, a healthy climate leads to healthy results.
So what is number one on your dashboard? What is, when you wake up in the morning, the first piece of data or the first thing you think about?
I look at comparable sales, I look at comparable transactions, because that's important to me, and also look at our turnover in our restaurants to make sure that everything is calibrated and going in the right direction.
But don't you want some turnover?
Well, some turnover is healthy, but you don't want too much turnover either. And when you have a very high turnover, you know that there are issues. And we correlate turnover with sales. So we look at all the indications, because usually when sales are down, it's a reason for other things that are happening in the restaurant. So that's important for us.
30 seconds left. We're with George Michel, the Big Chicken, CEO of Boston Market Corporation, the future of Boston Market Corporation.
Well, we'd like to get to 1,200 restaurants. We're at 456. We're going to open 10 to 12 new restaurants this year. We're very excited about our potential. I believe that we can have 1,200 restaurants again, with high volumes per restaurant, happy employees, engaged employees, and our future looks fantastic.
Great having you on the CEO show.
Thanks a lot for having me.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Paul Kusserow. How are you, Paul?
Great, Robert. Thanks for having me.
And Paul is the president and CEO of Amedisys. It's a Fortune 1000 company with about 13,000 employees, a leader in home health care and hospice. Talk about what the business is.
Sure. Our main business, we have two main businesses. One is home health, which we provide care for people who want to remain in the home and for people who are discharged from doctor's offices and from hospitals. The other one is we're a large hospice player. And what we do there is we administer hospice services to those people in the last days of their lives.
So let's talk about how that business is changing.
Sure.
Demographics and what is the real need for this? There's already over 5,000 hospitals in America.
Yeah, well, what we find is if you go to the real basic level of what people want, they want to remain in their homes. They want to be surrounded by their loved ones. They want to learn how they can deal with whatever diseases or chronic illnesses they might have within their homes. Home is where you are the majority of the time, and it's not like hospitals, which are highly episodic. So our job is to go into the home and to help people adapt to whatever new challenges they have and to make sure that they can recover and thrive. That's what we do, and it's a great mission, and we're finding that the world is very much coming to us with technology advances and some of the other things that are occurring, and as long as we continue to expand our skill set, we believe more and more of the healthcare system will be applicable to us.
And now with technology, homes are wired. We've even spoken there are modular homes where you could bring grandma into your family property.
Sure. Well, I used to be a venture capitalist, and one of the companies we invested in, a company out of Minnesota called HealthSense, a long time ago, actually builds individual algorithms for people that want to stay at home and thrive at home. And basically what it does is they have sensors all over the place that are installed, and you can build these algorithms in terms of what your norm is, and then if you ever go outside that norm, there's alerts that come out. It's a fascinating business, but we're seeing that a lot of other companies are doing this. Some of the larger companies are doing this. We're participating in a project with a company called Care Innovations, which is a joint venture of Intel and GE in this space, because we want to make sure that we're all technologies that are coming out here that allows people to age in place. We want to make sure we understand it and employ it where it's appropriate. So those technologies are really key for us, and they're advancing at an extraordinarily rapid rate.
So let's talk about when you became CEO, and you had a fascinating career, and in the second part of the interview we'll talk more about your leadership philosophy, but for now, you became CEO December 2014.
Yes.
You've had great results now, a big turnaround. One of the first things you did was visit about 40 different patients, and talk about why you did that, and I know there are three tenants that you really learned from that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So one is I've been around the healthcare business now for 15 years, but I wasn't specifically around the home health and hospice business, so I didn't know what to do immediately walking into this situation. So my belief was, in all things, and I've learned this, is that there's always, the answers are always within the markets and within your employees and within your patients. And so what I did is I spent about 2 months out there talking with thousands of our employees, actually going out on a lot of calls, understanding what we do every day, and gleaning that. And I came out with really three tenets that formulate our strategy, which, and once again, I go back out. I was out 2 weeks ago and went to 20 care centers, met with hundreds of people, and said, okay, how am I doing? Is this the right answer? Does it make sense? I'm putting resources behind this. These are your resources as well as my resources. This is what we're going to do. And they said, yeah, we like these ideas. The four strategies, or the pillars of our strategies: one, make sure we're clinically distinctive, make sure we deliver better care than everybody else. Two, make sure we take really good care of our people, because our people are delivering these services, and therefore we need superior people to deliver superior care. Three, make sure that our processes, because there's art and science in terms of what we're doing, make sure the science piece of documentation, make sure the coding, the billing, all that stuff is really accurate so that we can really streamline this process. And then fourth, we need to grow. and we need to grow in emerging markets as well as grow in our core profitable markets. And so thus far, and we have 930 business development folks that are out there making these calls, and so we've been working with them saying this is how we need to grow.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show. We interview the CEOs who reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Paul Kusserow, who is the CEO and president of Amedisys, a Fortune 1000 company. So now you've developed this strategy. You've 13,000 employees. How do you really go about implementing the strategy?
Well, what we've done in terms of implementing is first we've actually made some changes in our management team. We have about 80% of our management team is new.
Wait, that's some changes?
Yes,
80%.
Oh yeah, substantial changes. Yes. So one is, I think what you have to do is when you're leading something, you have to realize what the company needs and then what you can honestly provide and what you can't provide. And I'm good at strategy, which is coming from a strategy background, which is understanding where we need to go, how we need to get there. But in terms of actually getting there, I needed some executional people with some really specific expertise. And so what we did was I went out and found the best I could in this area, and I think we've assembled an extraordinary team. I think part of the reason why we were able to assemble an extraordinary team was our compensation that we set up, which is very different than what most public companies have in terms of compensation, which is most of about 80% of my compensation is risk-based.
Mm.
So it's risk-based options and risk-based stock, and my management team has the same thing. So we're coming in, we're betting on ourselves, and we're betting on our ability and aligning ourselves with shareholders to drive the value of the company. So we're all very, very focused on that. And if we do well, we'll all do very well. And if we don't, then we'll have to pay the piper. So it's an interesting process.
And that's at all levels. That's at senior levels and at middle levels. Probably not at the
lower level. But yeah, we believe very heavily in equity compensation because that keeps everybody's eye on the ball. And we believe that the four elements of the strategy that we set is going to drive the company's value. So we've transformed the top. We're moving through the middle layers of management so that we can get people focused on what our shareholders are focused on and what our patients are focused on.
Well, that's great. It's also, I'm sure, helping in recruiting because now you're recruiting people who are results oriented. And that's, to me, the number one word in business is always results.
Absolutely. Well, I think the other thing about the people we recruited, which is really interesting, is these were folks that we recruited who are really hungry. These are people who are extraordinary managers, but they never really got to run their own show, too. So I think one of the ideas of the folks that we actually went out and found were these were people who were the best of the best, and yet for some reason, luck, whatever, they never really had an opportunity to do their own thing, and now we actually have provided this opportunity, so these guys are just killing it.
Okay. Everyone here, we have hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs, business execs listening in. They want to know, how do you get the talent? Where do you find that talent? Are there any specific questions that you'll ask someone to get the talent?
Yeah, I think the key thing when you're looking for talent is, one, their ability to quickly ascertain what the situation is and to act on that situation, to be able to read people really, really well is the key that I see. We're in the people business. We have, 14,000 people out there providing care. If we don't have great people who are good people readers, that's ultimately
that's a problem. Good people reader. You just meet with them and you could just sense it.
No, we can sense it. But the other thing is, by the teams they've built in the past. And the other thing is, if you look at some, I'm a very devout believer in the loyalty effect. And the other, I judge a lot of people that I bring in by how loyal the people are above and below them, because with loyalty you can really generate tremendous tremendous outcomes, because the people they bring in feel comfortable with what they're doing, they feel like they're going to be supported, they believe in their leaders. And so loyalty is a key thing I look for when I'm interviewing people. Do they have people that are loyal to them?
It's a great concept. Everyone listening in, focus on people who are loyal, and I would say interview probably people above and below them and around them, and then you get the right team.
Yeah, always. And that's what we do is whenever we hire somebody, we interview mainly the people below them, as many as I can find. And the other thing is I also want to make sure, the other key thing that I want to make sure is have they failed, which I think
and
is a real...
On that note, have they failed? We're about to take a commercial break, but we're going to come back and you're going to hear some fascinating things on leadership philosophy. Back in a few.
This is Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. As a business leader, I know that babies born very sick or too soon cost businesses billions of dollars each year, in addition to the emotional stress on employees and their families. That's why Famous Footwear is committed to raising funds to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in the March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
Hi, I'm 54 years of age, and at Christmas time last year, a resident I take care of at work accidentally rolled over my right foot with his motorized scooter. I was backed into a corner, and he put it in reverse and did it again. The bones in my foot weren't actually broken, but damage was done. The remedy was to just let the foot heal on its own, and this was expected to take many weeks. As a caregiver, I do a lot of walking, and I was sort of okay when I was in motion. It's when I stopped to rest that I really felt the pain. The pain was there getting out of bed in the morning, too. So I got on the One World Way at Uber staff, and I just had to write this testimony. No more pain. Nothing. I can only attribute this to the One World Way since I haven't introduced anything else into my life. Each product is a true godsend. It gives me energy and did whatever magic this stuff does to heal my forefoot. I will take One World Way for life. Sincerely, Holly.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorldWHEY.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add NewHarvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 My name is Don Wiskin. In 1994, I lost my 62-year-old father to complications of bypass surgery. In 1977, my 44-year-old brother was found dead in his apartment. He suffered a heart attack. In January of 98, my mother had a stroke and passed away in her bed. 21 days later, my 53-year-old brother passed away on his arrival to the hospital. He waited too long. In June that same year, I almost joined them at 42. What did I do? I took a 7-herb formula I now call Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, hawthorn, milk thistle, and valerian. Based on German studies of natural medicine, Extendivite is designed to clear blocked arteries, clean the toxins from your blood, and improve your immune system. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website, heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, this is Robert Greece on the CEO Show, and we're with Paul Kusserow, the CEO of Amedisys, and he is talking about a fascinating philosophy of finding people, and now you're saying about failure as well.
Yes, I mean, I think I learn more from failure than I do from success, and I think a key thing is you want enough people who've got enough scar tissue on them so that they understand how things should be done and how things shouldn't be done, particularly from the people perspective. And I always believe that if you've been at the last place where you've been is if you've had a failure and you're a good person, and the failure was reasonable, it wasn't through any negligence or anything like that, those are the people who are the hungriest, and those are the people who don't want it to happen again. And I think that's very important when you're involved in a turnaround or a transformative situation like we're in right now.
Anything unique you do to build the culture?
Sure. Well, initially, I think what I did when I came around was, one, spend a lot of time out understanding what business we were in from the ground level up, understanding who our employees were. We hire a lot of clinicians. These are very special people. We wanted to understand their viewpoint. The other thing, I think, so once you get that knowledge, then you can develop a good strategy. Then I think the key is transparency. And so what we've done is all my management team at this point, most of my management team at this point, sits out in our corporate headquarters out in the middle of the floor. We're very accessible. We walk around on a regular basis. I'm very interested. I have lunch with people.
You have glass windows. Right?
I sit in the aquarium. They actually call it the aquarium. The last time for my birthday, a lot of the ladies and people on the Spirit Society went in and actually made it look like an aquarium. So I was sitting there with a bunch of mermaids, which are very interesting.
This is spoken like a true professor, and true to that nature, Paul actually, in full disclosure, was a professor back at William & Mary years ago. So let's talk about, you're definitely a strategy guy. You have a unique way of looking at everything. I want to ask, there was a decision you made when you first got there. It was really a software company, and you jettisoned everything.
Yes, we had to look at our business. We were in a different situation, I think, with external investors, with our people, and what we basically did is we decided, I was looking at all the businesses, and everybody was telling me that we were developing fantastic software. So I went out to the field and looked at the software. It didn't look very fantastic. And then I brought in some external people who actually were software experts in this business and said, do a side-by-side comparison on functionality, and found out we were really lacking. And so very quickly decided to exit that business. And what we then did is we found what we believed was the best solution, and we went back to the field, and we went back to our people and said, you pick. I'm not a software expert. I think anybody that claims a lot of CEOs are software experts shouldn't be picking software. So we went back to the people who are going to use it, and we had them vote. And what we found is it's much more acceptable at this point because actually it was picked by the people, not by the CEO.
Great philosophy. Anything else about running a company? Any other words of wisdom that people could learn from you?
Sure.
And I know you have a lot. So.
But the only
of course. I think the key thing is always communicate. When you have high-quality people, which is generally most organizations do, when you have high-quality people, you have to treat them at a very high level, and they're no different than you are. And therefore, you communicate as much as you can. You're as transparent as you possibly can. You put things out in front of them, and invariably they'll come out with wonderful insights and results. And I think what since we're in the people business, we staff, we have 14,000 people who staff every day and do 30,000 visits a day. I want to make sure those people feel comfortable with me, that I'm listening, that I'm providing them the best opportunities they can have, and that I'm their advocate. And I think the other key is what you always want to do is be a great advocate for those people. If they believe you've got their back, they'll deliver the best they can for you.
And you say a CEO's job is a convener?
Yes.
You know, you said, I thought that was fascinating, but I've never heard that word used before in CEO.
Right. Well, I believe the best thing is I think the days of the pyramid are over where the CEO sits at the top. I believe you assemble the best talent, you convene the best talent you can, you provide the vision with them, you provide the vision as far up and down the organization as you can, and you convene that talent, and then you become an advocate for that talent, and your job ultimately as a CEO is to break down barriers for them. And that way I think you get really enabled, incentivized, engaged people who believe you're really you've got their back and you're out there pushing them to do the best they can.
Let's talk about challenges you face. Now, most CEOs don't come out of strategy, which you did. And talk about a real challenge that you had in life that helped move you towards the role of becoming CEO.
Well, I think I was interested in taking this job because I saw a lot of people. I've had bad jobs and with bad CEOs in my early career, and I always thought it could be done slightly differently. And I believe, particularly with a workforce, an educated modern workforce, that if you believe and bring real democratic enabling principles to bear, that you could unleash the power of those people within an organization and really let them shine, and then you yourself will shine as a result of enabling them. So I jumped at this opportunity because I wanted to prove this philosophy to be the right one.
Well, so far with Wall Street, they're giving you thumbs up.
Thus far, yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I think we've been lucky to date, and I think we've done a very nice job. I think we're just in the early stages of this transformation. I think we've got really good wind at our backs in terms of home health and hospice. So the market conditions, I think, will continue to be good. I think we're focused on the right areas. So I think we're still in the very early stages of what the value should be here. I'm very optimistic about what we're going to be able to do once we really unleash our clinical excellence, once we really have engaged employees, what these folks are going to be able to do. And the other great thing about this business, which I think is so important, it's a virtuous circle. I mean, the fact is, you do good, we're doing good to the most vulnerable people out there. We're providing care for the most vulnerable people out there, and yet it's good business. So, you wake up every day doing good for people and also driving a great business. It's a good deal.
Absolutely. What is the website for Amedisys?
The website is www.amedisys,
which is spelled
AMEDISYS.com.
Well, Paul, great having you on the CEO show. Terrific insights. And remember, everyone, look at failure, focus on the human being, on people who communicate and are people.
Non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.